All right, back on Get Up. Before we start a new hour, went to a fight the other night and a hockey game broke out. But first, we had two seconds into the action between the Rangers and the Devils.
Hey, revenge is a dish best served cold, right? So this is a spillover from last fight. So this was get back. But listen, I'm going to say this, right? This kid right here, Matt Rempe, like, everybody wants to fight this kid. He's 21 years old. I know he's 6'7", but he's got to be the designated goon. He's their version of Bob Probert.
And who doesn't love a goon?
But this is what I'm saying, though. If you're the Devils, like, listen, man, if we going to fight, like, put all the goons out there. Because they taking Devils are taking L's all over the place, right? You got two guys on the ground. They taking these L's. Like, let's start all our big guys. Don't start me, man. I don't know if everybody from the Devils is on board with this.
Eight players were ejected immediately, including Rempe, who has played three games against the Devils and been ejected from all of them.
I love it.
He's like, man, why I had to be in a fight? I didn't even want to look. He covered his ears up. Dude, get him. Get him. His kids saw that. He can't even tell his kids to take the trash out no more. You take the trash out. Walk Carter Rangers come up here and kick your ass again, Daddy.
We're fired up about
honestly,
hockey.
I have no idea what you're saying anymore. Welcome back to Get Up. We're live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Grey Goose. Did you see what happened yesterday? Holy smoke. Big news. Bills trade Stephon Diggs to Houston after a season filled with lots of questions and what appeared at times to be friction with quarterback Josh Allen. He's been the most productive receiver in the NFL for 4 years, but that seems to have fallen off. Buffalo carrying a dead money charge of $31 million next season as part of the deal. Here's their general manager, Brandon Bean.
Are we better today? Probably not. Yeah, it's a work in progress. And I would just hope that people know I'm as competitive as hell. And I ain't giving in.
Did you talk to Josh prior to the move? Have you talked to him since the move?
I have not talked to him since the move. I think it's important for me to make sure if I think something could happen to make sure he's not blindsided. I did alert him that, you know, there had been some inquiries and it wasn't 100% off the table.
Okay, fair enough. So let's go back to the beginning of what he said. Are we better today? Probably not. Let's take the probably out of that statement, shall we? Not only have they now traded away the most productive receiver in the NFL over the last 4 years, they have also lost Gabe Davis, who was their other wide receiver. Their defense, they've lost starters Trey White, Jordan Poyer, and Leonard Floyd. This has become a complete disaster. And here we go. November will roll around. The Jets or someone else will be winning that division. Buffalo will be having a disappointing season. And do you know what the conversation will be here on Get Up and on First Take right after us and everybody else? What's wrong with Josh Allen? Oh, Josh Allen, he's terrible now. Look, he's supposed to be a top-level quarterback and we can't even win games and all. This is going to come down on Josh Allen. We keep taking things. It's like they just keep taking things away from him and expecting more from him.
That's after they gave him everything, Greeny.
They gave him everything
and he got worse.
D-Wood, why are you making that face?
Because D-Wood is sick and tired.
Of what?
Of you.
God, listen, man. Listen, outside of Dak Prescott, we talk about Josh Allen more than any other quarterback in the National
because
football.
Because he is unfairly maligned.
We give Josh Allen his due. Like, Josh Allen's a baller. He's a playmaker. There's no question about that.
But there's always a but. There's always a but with Josh Allen.
I mean,
he ain't getting it done, Greeny.
Josh Allen has had all of these players. He's had a top-notch defense. He's had Stephon Diggs. He's had all these guys. And what has it amounted? What has it amounted to? Has Josh Allen been to a Super Bowl?
He has not.
Has Josh Allen won an MVP?
He has not.
Josh Allen is a top three quarterback in the National Football League. Okay. Now with Stephon Diggs moving on, we about to see if Josh Allen is truly that franchise guy that can truly put a franchise on his back. We're about to see, my friend. There's no question about it.
I'm just listening to D-Wood.
You know who agrees with me?
If you tell me Dan Orlovsky, that you two can stand on that ledge together by yourself.
I got a text from Orlovsky.
Of course
we talked about this
of
earlier.
Of course you did.
And my guy Dan came to my defense.
Of course he did.
Sent me two very simple words. You're correct. And indeed I am. You know, geniuses like Dan and I, we will weather the slings and arrows of all of this nonsense.
Okay.
Kmart, you know it better than anybody.
Yes.
You know Josh Allen better than anybody. You were a columnist in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
He walked off the field with 13 seconds left in a game against Patrick Mahomes, having outplayed him and beaten him. And his team gave that game away, literally just said, we don't want it, you take it. And from that moment forward, everything has gone in the wrong direction, and he gets all the blame for it.
Greeny,
when all he does is be the best player on the field in every game he plays.
I hate that you push me to the edge like this, because this is not... this is not an issue that I have with Josh Allen. This is just this is the reality of being a top-tier quarterback making top-tier money.
Right.
Yes.
So when you have Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, when you have Lamar Jackson and this offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, decides, hey, the thing that got us here, we're not going to do that. Oh, no, no, no. We can say, what happened there? How did they fall off? Except it's on Lamar Jackson. When Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars are disappointing, we're looking at Trevor Lawrence like, what's going on with you? When we look at Joe Burrow, it's like, okay, hey, you got paid. Now, whether T. Higgins remains on the team or not, you got to get it done. All of these quarterbacks that get Jalen Hurts, we don't want to hear any excuses from the Eagles. The expectation is winning a Super Bowl. Just because Josh Allen is Josh Allen and he's in Buffalo, I'm sorry, the rules don't change. So I get it that you and Dan think that we're being unfair. It's not about fairness. It's if you are eating up most of the pie, most of the responsibility now falls on you. Is that fair? No, but life is not fair, baby. That is reality.
Harry, go.
Yeah, I said this about Jalen Hurts when he got his money. Listen, when you get compensated the way you do, you're supposed to make up for deficiencies. But I think it's also, we got to put this thing into context. Joe Brady is going to be a part of this, right? His offensive coordinator. And I don't believe you make this move if you're Brandon Beam, if you're Sean McDermott, if you don't believe that Joe Brady can help his quarterback out with Josh Allen. We've seen that this football team is in an identity shift, right? We've seen it when Joe Brady took over as the offensive coordinator. So is it going to be different? They don't have a number one wide receiver right now. I believe they're going to draft one or draft multiple wide receivers coming up in the 2024 NFL draft. But I just feel like moving forward, this team is going to run the football a lot more, in which when Joe Brady took over, they did 10 more rushing attempts and 40 more rushing yards than they did previously. And I think that's the makeup of the Buffalo Bills moving forward.
I mean, you talk about the identity, right? And we saw the shift, and you brought up Baltimore, right? Remember, like, Lamar Jackson won MVP in two different types of systems, but they had to recognize that this isn't sustainable. And the way that they put everything on Josh Allen isn't sustainable. His health, his turnovers all spiked up when he's trying to be the number one rusher, playmaker, and have to under the pressure to make all those plays. What you saw under Joe Brady was a more efficient Josh Allen, who leaned on the run, and James Cook became a big part of the system. It protected them. It helped them protect their defense. And so now they're making an identity change, and they have to recognize that with Stephon Diggs and the way they were playing, it was the law of diminishing returns, because you started off in that game with Kansas City. But since then, it's going the other way.
It has.
They've come up one game shorter every time. Mm-hmm. You talk about how he outplayed Patrick Mahomes, but you didn't recognize and say that he got outplayed by Joe Burrow in his house. And this was supposed to be the year in which he was supposed to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes because he had home field advantage, and that was going to be the difference. And they came up short. So sometimes you have to recognize that maybe this group is topped out. And listen, Brandon Bean is under tremendous pressure, because whether he wants to admit it or not, he gave out two bad contracts that really hurt this team. They can't get rid of the Von Miller trade. He's not the same player. He's not the close that he once is after the knee injury. And the Tre'Davious White, as soon as they paid him, he hurt his knee, then he hurt his Achilles. So now they still have to carry and eat that money. So they have to try and find a way to redistribute the funds, because that's what sustainable success is all about.
So are they done? Is this iteration of the Bills? Look, Josh Allen's going to be there a long time.
They'll
have a whole other window come open at some point with an entirely other team.
Yeah.
But this group, that from the moment that they lost that Kansas City game, I agree with you, the Super Bowl has been forecast for them. It was their destiny. Is that over, D. Wood?
That iteration of the Bills is over with. Like 2023, that was the last iteration of that Buffalo Bills team. I've turned the page on that. And now it's a whole new chapter for this new Buffalo Bills team that's going to be led by Josh. When you have Josh Allen, you are always in the mix.
Right.
I'm not going to sit here on this set and dismiss the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills are still, in my opinion, one of the best teams in the AFC because they have Josh Allen. We saw the Buffalo Bills last year when they had those injuries on defense. Sean McDermott adapted, and that defense towards the end of the year were playing really good football. This team is not going anywhere. But I'm not going to sit here in the same breath dismiss what Stephon Diggs meant to the Buffalo Bills, meant to Josh Allen's development. Now I'm just, all I'm saying is we're going to see how well Josh Allen can literally can uplift the players around him, because that's what's going to have to happen.
And let me get some X's and O's here from our wide receiver, Harry Douglas. Harry, because like people will look at the way the production fell off from Stephon Diggs, particularly in the second half of last season. He only had 3 catches for 21 yards in the playoff loss to Kansas City. So some will look at that and say, well, what are they really losing in him anyway? What's the answer to that, Harry? What impact did he have on that team, regardless of the numbers? What is it they are replacing, and can they do it with a rookie?
Well, it's a huge piece of the pie that they're losing when it comes to Stephon Diggs. You're talking about a guy, Greeny, the last 4 years, over 100 catches in each year. The last 6 years, over 1,000 yards. And a guy that can win versus one-on-one coverage, right? There's something to be said. The game of football is not hard. It's easy. Can you beat your man one-on-one? Can you get open? And for the most part, Stephon Diggs has done that his entire career, and especially being in a Buffalo Bills uniform. So they're going to miss that tremendously. And all that, you know, all that production that he had, I'm not going to put that onus on a rookie wide receiver, but I do believe because of the offense being shifted, that new wide receiver won't be asked to do things that previously Stephon Diggs was able to do as soon as he arrived in Buffalo.
Here's you talked about the X and O's. What has happened now is they just allowed another man to come into the box. Right, so life is going to get harder for Kincaid and for James Cook, because now I don't have anybody outside to respect. Mm-hmm. And if I got a guy like Sauce, Stingley, any of the semi-top corners in the league, I feel like we can take him away, and now we can put another man in the box. So now it's going to be a lot more difficult for Josh Allen, because now the field has shrunken, and it doesn't have a lot of windows and lanes anymore.
So, Kmart, my reporter extraordinaire, yes. My writer extraordinaire, my storyteller extraordinaire.
Yes.
I can see the headline right now. Kimberly Martin's column on ESPN.com, November 14th this coming year. What's wrong with Josh Allen? That is what that is what's going to happen. All this is going to fall apart around them, and the question is going to be, what's wrong with Josh Allen?
No, I'm feeling pretty maligned. Forget about Josh Allen. I'm feeling maligned by you. No, that won't be the headline, but the Bills, it's not just about Josh. Like, to Bart's point, they are all under tremendous pressure. They are not waving the white flag. You know why? Because everybody's job is on the line. I understand that Bean and McDermott have gotten extensions. They are very, like, they're beloved in that organization. But the expectation for this team does not change just because Stephon Diggs walked out the door. You have the quarterback that you think you can win with. It's on you. The failed contracts, the roster management, the way you coach, all of that is on everybody in that building. So, no, the Bills are still confident, but they've taken a step back, and it's on them to prove that, no, they're still the team in the AFC East to beat.
They've earned the right to get 2 years to fix it. This is a reset year where they're going to be competitive.
2 years?
Yeah, but they're going to reset. And then the money that's going to come off the books from Tre'Davious White, and they're going to carry this heavy load with Stephon Diggs' $31 million cap hit, but then they'll be in the market to come back and try and open a second window.
So they're out of the picture for just the one season.
Greeny holding on for that.
One season, D-Wood. The one season we need to stay in with a 40-year-old quarterback.
Caroline.
That's my what?
Come to the light.
The master plan is coming all together very nicely. In the meantime, the other side of this deal is young, scrappy, and hungry, and they're not throwing away their shot. Houston side of this is CJ suddenly the biggest threat to Patrick Mahomes in the entire AFC. We're talking about that. Plus, 3 weeks till the draft. Caleb Williams visiting the Bears yesterday. But should Chicago be considering going in a different direction anyway? We'll answer that question as we roll on. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash.
With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Man, that boy bad.
Oh, no, 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 no. Man, that boy bad.
That boy bad.
Boom. Oh, oh, damn, Greeny.
That boy bad. That boy bad.
My goodness, Greeny.
That boy bad.
So watch it. Come here. I'm going. Oh, my goodness. That boy bad. Let's do it again.
That boy bad.
With the huge news yesterday of Stephon Diggs getting traded from Buffalo after 4 incredibly successful seasons to Houston, we thought we would pay homage to how incredibly productive his time there was, as only we can. Harry Douglas, take it away. Big fella, get in here with me and do it. Harry, give me a Stephon Diggs edition of That Boy Bad.
That's exactly what we have, Greeny. We got That Boy Bad, the Stephon Diggs edition. And we're going to start with this play right here versus the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Stephon Diggs catches this ball with one hand in the rain. I know a lot of people that can't catch with 2 hands in the rain. But Stephon Diggs says, I have those bear paws, baby. I've been in those rice buckets. I've been doing grip work all year long. Why would he? Because Stephon Diggs, that boy bad. On to the next one. We got this play right here versus the Miami Dolphins. I talked about Stephon Diggs being one-on-one and being able to run his route and win. Ooh. He runs a stop route. They put a young cat on him. Why would they do that? He broke 2 tackles. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Diggs. Why, guys? Because Stephon Diggs, that boy bad. And last but not least, we have this play right here versus the Minnesota Vikings, 3rd and 15. Oh. So the quarterback and the wide receiver, they have to make a play. I got to check his hands. Does he have stick'em on him? Nope. Like I mentioned earlier, he's in grip work. That's what you get from Stephon Diggs if you're the Houston Texans, a guy that can make plays over and over and over again. The ball doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't matter if it's rain, sunshine, or snow. All you got to do is say, go, Stephon, go. Why? Because that boy, bad.
An all Stephon Diggs edition of it, but I like that Bart is here to.
I need one for this guy. How about that, Doogie?
That's what we're looking for. We'll do an Aaron Rodgers one later, but that's the question. Do the Jets become one of the real threats to Kansas City, or is it now all about Houston? Look at the Texans. 2 years ago, they were 3-13-1. Candidly, they looked rudderless. In just 2 seasons, they hit huge on draft picks. C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell. Now they go all in with the additions of Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. What could they be? Listen to Shefty earlier on Get Up.
Look at the Houston Texans. They have C.J. Stroud on a rookie contract. so they can go trade for Stephon Diggs. They can go sign Danielle Hunter. They can redo Joe Mixon's deal. They can go add whoever they want because they're not paying the quarterback yet and don't have to pay him for at least two more seasons. So the Houston Texans, while the Buffalo Bills deal with the salary cap situation that they have and have to make moves, can add all they want because they don't have to pay C.J. Stroud.
When people ask the question, just how valuable is a quarterback on a rookie deal, this is the answer. Point to all the things that we just showed you that the Texans were able to do. They are able to load up in this window. We use the term all in, right? The Cowboys want to say they're all in. Mm-hmm. This is what all in looks like. And so all kidding aside, right? You and I want the Jets to be there.
Yep.
Are the Texans a real threat? This incredibly young team with a quarterback in his second season, are they a legitimate threat to knock off Kansas City and make it to the Super Bowl this year?
I think this team can play with anybody led by DeMeco Ryans. He understands how to build a roster. He did it and saw it firsthand in San Francisco. And he did what he knew he had to do. He had to get somebody opposite Will Anderson, went out and got Danielle Hunter, one of the best pass rushers in the game, because you need closers. And that's usually what it's about. I think they put themselves in the conversation, but I still can't put them past the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know everybody think I'm out here being tongue-in-cheek when I talk about Aaron Rodgers coming back and how deep and what a great job Joe Douglas has done. I know it's the offseason, but I think when it all comes down to it, you know, you look at the Texans, they've done and put themselves in the conversation.
Bengals, Ravens, maybe the Jets, some other teams.
Not the Bills.
How about the Texans? How do the Texans into all this now?
I've been high on the Texans, even before this trade. I thought this was a team capable of winning a Super Bowl. To me, they were Super Bowl contenders without Stephon Diggs. Now, I think that has not changed because you have a quarterback. Your point about taking advantage of the rookie window, that rookie contract, Brandon Bean was at the combine talking about how San Francisco, that's the way you'd want to do it. In a perfect world, like, that's great when you have a quarterback that you're not paying a lot. So he understands that having Josh at that price point. And so when you look at the Texans, they're the complete opposite. And that's why they've been aggressive. We talked about this trade from the Bills' perspective and Stephon's. But look at the Texans. They looked around their division and said, we won it last year, but we can't stand pat. The Titans, look at how they've upgraded their team. Anthony Richardson coming back. So the Texans are showing you when the people around you, when those teams start beefing up, you got to beef up too, which is something that the other team in Texas hasn't done.
Texans, D. Wood.
Oh yeah, they're one of the teams in the AFC that you're gonna have to reckon with. I mean, think about the Texans. Think about this. 2 years ago, the Texans were a laughing stock. You get C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud comes in and has arguably the best rookie season at the quarterback position in NFL history.
Correct.
When you hit on that, you literally say, okay, it's time to push all of our chips in right now. And what have the Texans done? You go out and you trade for Joe Mixon. You go out and you get Stephon Diggs. You go out and get Danielle Hunter, DeMeco Autry. Like, all of these additions that they've made is because they hit on one position, the quarterback. You can make the case right now, C.J. Stroud might be a top-five quarterback in the National Football League. The way he played last season, he was that dynamic of a player. And now, with all the surrounding cast that he has, come on, man. Like, the Houston Texans, are for real.
For sure. And look, Stephon Diggs is not the same player he was 4 years ago. But if you think about what he did to elevate Josh Allen, C.J. Stroud is starting from a much higher place right now than Allen was at that time. It's a scary concept what the Texans could be this year. They've gone all in, and it might just work. Much more on that trade, much more football as our conversation continues. But coming up next here, we have got some basketball conversation. The Buffalo, go ahead, roll the bump here. We'll see what it is. Oh, it's more on the Buffalo blockbuster. Is Josh Allen's AFC East dominance about to end? How much trouble are the Bills in? We'll talk about that. Plus, is anyone hotter than LeBron and the Lakers? Can they make another deep playoff run? We'll talk about that as we continue. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. Bottom of the hour, it is that game that is sweeping the nation. It is called Is That McNuts? I will make a statement, and Monica will tell us whether or not that statement is indeed McNuts. Monica, if I said, just put the Celtics in the NBA Finals right now, is that McNuts?
That is not McNuts, Greeny. I do not believe that this is a regular season phenomenon in terms of the efficient, beautiful basketball that you're seeing. Jason Tatum, MVP candidate. Kristaps Porzingis, a difference maker and a problem in terms of how to defend. Book it.
Yeah, they locked up the one seed in the East already yesterday, winning their 60th game. They look like they're going to be a tough out. Meanwhile, if I were to say the Bucks are going to be one and done in the playoffs, is that McNuts?
Let me be very clear. I am not predicting this. However, that is not McNuts. This team has battled various injuries all season long, and in general, I'm of the school of thought it takes a little bit of time for stars to gel plus a new coach, so that would not shock me.
Okay, so that's the Eastern side of things. Let me switch over to the West. If I were to say the Lakers are going to make a run all the way back to the West Conference Finals as they did a year ago, is that McNuts?
I think you got a little too much dip on your chip here, Greeny. I know everybody's thrilled and excited about this 8 out of 9 game win streak that the Lakers are currently on, but if we started today, they're still in the play-in. They still got to win 2 games. They probably run into the Denver Nuggets, most likely. And even if they don't, a series with either OKC or the Minnesota Timberwolves is going to be taxing. I do not trust that one. That one's McNuts for me.
You know who's feeling good? My close personal friend, the King, LeBron James, who shouted me out on Instagram yesterday.
Greedy
is we're that kind of tight. He was asked about, after the game, about this impressive Laker run. Here's what he said.
I don't want to look too far ahead, knowing the situation that we're in. So I've been just more taking it day by day. And like I said, when that moment comes, I think we've got, 5 games left, 2 weeks left in the season pretty much, and then that following week, it's time to go. So wherever we have to play, wherever it is, on the road, at home, it is. It is what it is.
All right, so here's, to Monica's point, exactly where they sit. They're a game and a half out of the 6th seed at the moment. Our analytics have the Lakers with just a 5% chance to avoid the play-in. The most likely chance is that they wind up in the 9-10 game. Overall, their chance to make the playoffs, meaning out of the play-in and into the field, is 46%. So that's where we stand. So here's McNuts. McNutt.
It is I.
Here's Damian Woody, the world's biggest Laker fan. But Austin Rivers, I'm starting with you. I'm making the statement right now. The only team I don't think the Lakers can beat is Denver. Denver is the best team of that. There is no question. But you give the Lakers a matchup with OKC, who is young and inexperienced. You give them a matchup with Minnesota with the injury to Karl Anthony Towns. I'm telling you right now, I like the Lakers to advance, and I think if they get on the other side of the bracket from Denver, we could see them deep into May again this year. What do you think, Austin?
Listen, barring no injury, I agree with you. This is a team that has vast playoff experience when we talk about even LeBron James and Anthony Davis alone. We've seen this duo go to the mountaintop and win a championship, even if it was in the bubble. We saw them last year get all the way to the conference finals. They have a wide variety of good role players around them that are stepped up. Look at last game tonight, or last night, for example. D'Lo, Hachimura, Austin Reeves, all these guys in double digits. They have guys who can come off the bench and score. When you look at the teams that are at the top of the West, when we talk OKC, Minnesota, these are young teams who don't have that experience. These are teams that anybody and everybody, I think, sees the Lakers being able to compete, not only compete, but beat. The only team ahead of them that we know that they cannot beat is Denver. So as long as they don't match up with them, and if they're able to get out of this play-in, I think the Lakers could make a realistic run back to the conference finals.
Here's what it reminds me of a little bit. I'm thinking back to last season, and this is not to disrespect what OKC has done. They've had an incredible year, and SGA is a legit MVP candidate. But last year, remember, all we talked about was who's going to get to play Sacramento? Who's going to get to play Sacramento because they're so inexperienced? And you know what? An aging Golden State Warriors team wound up drawing them in the first round and beat them in that first round. That is what LeBron is capable of doing for your Lakers so long as they stay out of the way of Denver because nobody's beating them.
Denver's the only team that I truly feel like the Lakers can't beat in the series. Right now.
Do you fear anyone else?
I don't fear any other team.
You fear in your heart.
I don't fear any other team in the Western Conference. Again, you know, I pointed out on the show before with you, SJ, how much I love his game, what he's done with OKC. They're young. When it comes to the playoffs, playoff experience can't be overlooked. But Denver, experience, the chemistry that they have, that's the team that I just don't see.
And they have the unstoppable force. Forget about that. Lakers aren't getting past
ridiculous.
Denver. If the Nuggets stay healthy, they're going back to the finals. But tell him he's wrong. Tell him he's McNuts. Lakers can't do it, Monica.
You just told me I'm McNuts. This is why I love Get Up. It's more of a discussion. It's more of the possibility.
Let's discuss it.
Y'all are right. You guys are absolutely right. They also could get sent home by Steph Curry and not even get to this point. So what are we doing? What are we doing?
The Lakers would beat the Warriors.
This is not a given.
You're talking about in a play-in situation, Lakers-Warriors right now, you would take Golden State to win that game?
It could happen.
Well, I mean, anything could happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel y'all on the lack of experience from the two young teams.
Mm-hmm.
I get you on the Nuggets' dominance.
Uh-huh.
I'm not 100% looking at the bracket, and sometimes I get a little bit confused. But if they were to run into the Clippers, are you taking them over the Clippers?
Listen, as far as Golden State, our sides will take care of Golden State. I'm not worried about that.
That's right.
I'm not worried about that. Our sides will take care
He's
of
going that. Hour. I love it. I love it.
It's gotten real personal.
Oh, yeah, it's personal. It's personal.
Wait, let's ask Austin. Lakers, Clippers in the playoff series, who you like?
Thank you, Austin. Like, none of this is a given. That's what I'm saying.
No one's saying it's a given. I'm telling you it's not McNuts.
That's not a given.
Yeah.
The Clippers are too deep of a team for that to just be a given. I'd probably have to roll with –
I'd maybe go with the
Lakers, but the Clippers are good, man. The Clippers are good. They're struggling
Mavericks.
Now. They're
Mavericks.
Struggling now,
I take the Lakers over the Mavericks.
Luka and Kyrie, they've been unbelievable. I don't know. I mean, they've got more players there than people realize. Legler is riding their bandwagon right crazy. I'll take LeBron. I'll take the King. I'll take His Highness. I will take His Royal Highness in any series against anybody except for the Nuggets.
I can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Who do you like? So who is the last team standing with Denver in the Western Conference? I mean, the bracket has a long way to go to get figured out.
My Achilles heel as an analyst is I fall for the young teams very early, very fast.
Uh-huh.
Minnesota.
Young tenderoni.
I'm not going to go young right now. I'm going to say Clippers. And I'm with Austin. Like, Clippers, Lakers, get uncomfortable, L.A., because that ain't you ain't even doing that.
You know what?
You ain't even doing that.
You know what? I'm so disappointed.
Yes, seriously.
It's fine. Disappointment in life is the flavor of life.
He's upset. We'll see what winds up happening. Again, the Lakers are hot at exactly the right time. Meanwhile, the big news is in the NFL. We had Stephon Diggs getting traded. We talked about it. We are 3 weeks to the day from round one of the NFL draft. Caleb Williams remains the projected top pick. He visited the Chicago Bears at Halas Hall yesterday, dining with Bears brass and some of the players. Meanwhile, yesterday here on Get Up, Lewis Riddick said if he were Chicago, he would consider a different direction.
As much as I love Caleb, and I need to emphasize that, because you like one guy a little bit more doesn't mean you hate the other. I would take Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels, that ball came off his hand, and I was like, see, this is the benefit of being there, man.
Mm-hmm.
This is the benefit. And again, I said this earlier, forget the whole thing about he's skinny, he's a beanpole, he won't be able to take NFL hits. He's put together in his lower half. He's a young man. He'll put on weight up top. And he's 6'4". He looks like the prototype.
All right, so we've been waiting for a lot of these boxes to get checked on Caleb Williams to Chicago. And yesterday, Kmart, we learned that a big one had, that he has been there now. All this talk, he hasn't been to Chicago, hasn't met with them. Now he has. What do we know?
He has, took the physical. Everything seems to be in line with what we assume will happen, that Caleb Williams will go number one overall to Chicago. Whether you think Jaden Daniels is going to be a better prospect or not, all I know is this. The Bears cannot mess this up. Whoever they take, if they want to shock the world and take somebody else, fine. They just need to, whoever they take at QB, he's got to be the guy, because too many things have happened within this organization and they failed to actually make good on drafting a quarterback high and developing him and building a winning team.
Now, the reality is, whoever that quarterback is, and at this moment you expect it to be Caleb Williams, is walking into a pretty stacked roster. I mean, by the standards of teams that are drafting number one overall, I struggle to remember a time when a player was walking into a situation that was as good, at least on paper, and I know you get mad at me whenever I bring that up, as this one is. That stands regardless of whether it's Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, or even in theory Drake May, which I don't feel like is really part of the picture. Who do you take number one if it's you, Bart Scott?
I mean, when I talk about to the people that really do this at a high level, you talk about Lewis Riddick, you talk about Mike Tannenbaum, who was down at the Senior Bowl and does his due diligence. He keeps telling me that that Jaden Daniels is the better player,
right?
But he's skinny. Like, and I'm saying if that's the only thing that puts Caleb Williams above is that he's more physically developed, then you go with the better talented player because at the end of the day, talent sets the ceiling, right? And you talk about, his ability and what he did, broke some of Joe Burrow's records, but he brings this added dimension right there. You can put 10 to 15 pounds on. You talk about, if you're Ryan Poles, you have to take a deep, hard look. I don't think you can go wrong, but just imagine what happened last year with the difference between taking C.J. Stroud and the difference between taking Bryce Young, right? So, it will take a lot of you-know-what for them to take Jaden Daniels, and if he doesn't work out, it's going to signal the end of both of the regime regardless.
Yeah.
I go Jaden Daniels. I like with the weapons that they have, but I don't think they can afford to do that.
Harry, you cover the college game for us. You've seen both of these guys in person. Who's the number one pick in the draft if Harry Douglas is making it?
For me, it's going to be Caleb Williams. And Green, I think you hit it right on the head. I don't think either one of these quarterbacks are going to be able to go to a better situation than they are with the Chicago Bears, having two number ones, tight ends, three running backs, defense that really lived up to the bill as soon as they made that trade for Montez Sweat. For me, I like Caleb Williams a lot more. From his freshman year at Oklahoma, coming into ball games, making plays, and one of the biggest rivalries versus Texas, and also what at USC in 2022, winning a Heisman Trophy. That's back when he had his number one wide receiver, Jordan Addison, as well. And then I think what we've seen last year is him not have a number one wide receiver. Also, the offensive line was depleted. And then he had to go and have shootouts just about every time he stepped on a football field because the defense was so bad. So I really like Caleb Williams being the number one overall pick to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, people forget that he started his career at Oklahoma. He actually took Spencer Rattler's job. Spencer Rattler, who was supposed to be the anointed one at that point coming out of high school at Oklahoma. Caleb Williams supplanted him as the starter there, then went with Lincoln Riley out to USC and did his thing. Is he the right pick for the Bears? It appears that's the pick they're going to make. Is it the right one, D. Wood?
I'm taking Jaden Daniels. For me, Jaden Daniels, for what we ask quarterbacks to do in the National Football League, he does it more consistently than Caleb Williams. Everyone talks about Caleb Williams, the off-platform, all that. That's all these quarterbacks do that now.
Yeah.
They all do that. But how many quarterbacks play in structure? That's what I want to see. Guys that can play in structure. Guys that can throw the ball in rhythm. Guys that can throw it intermediate. Guys that can throw the ball deep. Yes, to me, Jaden Daniels does that better than Caleb Williams. And I understand that Caleb Williams didn't have his number one receiver and all that. But for me, I just want to see consistently who can do these type of things. Jaden Daniels showed that to me particularly last year in 2023.
He's the Heisman Trophy winner. So that proves
that
everybody agrees.
The year before. I mean, the bottom line, look, there were two number one receivers at LSU this past year. I'm taking nothing away from, I'm just pointing out the facts.
Yes.
There were two receivers on LSU's roster this past year who are going to go in the first round, including Malik Nabers, who might wind up being the first wide receiver taken in this draft. It's a fascinating debate and discussion.
Somebody's wrong. You see that top five list?
Yeah.
We expect five guys. We know throughout history, at least three of those guys are going to be selling shoes at Foot Locker.
Okay, fair enough. Right. Meantime, check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in the ESPN Bet app. As the official sports book of ESPN, it's the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Okay, coming up next, the Buffalo blockbuster. More on that. Is Josh Allen's AFC East dominance about to come to an end? Will some of his teammates be selling shoes at Foot Locker? We'll talk about that in just a moment. Plus, here we go, D. Wood. Stephon Diggs, a lot of conversation today. He's one of two players with 1,000 receiving yards in each of the last six seasons. Can you name the other?
Easy money.
Easy money.
Easy
we'll find
money.
Out next.
Yes.
Foot Locker got great benefits, by the way.
Wednesday night on ABC. Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking in that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
All right, back with a really good question today. Darius doing our research. Here it is. It's for D. Wood, but anyone can chime in here. It's a great question. Stephon Diggs traded one of two players to record 1,000 receiving yards each of the last 6 years. Who's the only other one? D. Wood, you know it?
Mike Evans.
Duh.
Okay. Duh.
Don't have to go any further.
You do it every year.
Mike Evans, he's got like 10 in a row or something.
He passed Jerry Rice.
All 10 of his seasons.
Easy money.
Starting in 2014. Okay, that's good because that stat does stand out. But if you really think about it, the name Devontae Adams jumped into
well,
my
he got mind. Hurt,
a
though.
Bunch of other guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, injury, you got to be healthy every single year. Yeah. Well done. You just pounded down.
Easy money.
Come on, Darius.
Wood coming for him. I like it. Okay. The big trade is obviously our big story, so let's do fact or fiction on the following day. Harry Douglas, I'm starting with you. If I said the Texans now have the best wide receiving core in the league, is that fact or fiction?
I'm going to go fiction. Not just yet. They have a chance to be, but I don't want to disrespect the Eagles and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You look at Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. Minnesota Vikings and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison. There are a lot of groups out there that have done it also on a high level. They have the potential to be it, though, but not right
if
now.
Stephon Diggs rediscovers the fountain of youth. I agree. Kmart, let's go to you. If I said C.J. Stroud and the Texans are the biggest threat to the Kansas City Chiefs, is that fact or fiction?
Listen, Greeny, I'm going to say fact, and I'm going to stay with my chest. You know why? Because Damian Woody said, I don't want to give them too much right now. I'm going to be cautious. They're good. No. I'm high on the Texans because of that quarterback. Yeah, D. Wood. Mm-hmm. This team is the quarterback is special, and he's got offensive rookie of the year. I think this kid could win MVP. They're Super Bowl contenders.
Kmart's got beef with everybody today.
Right.
Beef
with me. Y'all started early with me, so it's over. It's a wrap.
Bartholomew, Josh Allen and the Bills. If I said they're still the best team in the AFC East, is that fact or fiction?
Straight cap.
I was going to say we should change it to cap.
It's straight cap. This is a lie. I tell you what, man. You talk about the New York Jets, and everybody think I'm being a homer. Listen, I call strikes and balls. I mean, you look at what they've done. Joe Douglas fortifying this offensive line. Aaron Rodgers, even if he's half of what he's been, his war in football terms is at least three. They won 7 last year with this defense. Breece Hall back, not on a pitch count. I think they go out and get Mike Evans, so now Gary Wilson's going to have a lot more space. It is the Jets, and the Jets by a landslide.
I love everything about that one. D. Wood, the last question is for you. If I said Josh Allen will throw more interceptions without Stephon, hold on a minute. Hold on.
Oh.
No. We'll roll the video. Hold on. What? And this is Fink again. This is sticking in the pipe Fink. Every single time he has a negative question about Josh Allen, that's the point.
So your issue, okay.
More intercept. Oh, everyone else. Oh, will C.J. Stroud now ascend to being the greatest player of all
time?
Can I
get Briss on the phone?
Is Patrick Mahomes the greatest player that ever lived? Is Josh Allen going to throw more interceptions? It's always a negative slant with Josh. That's what I'm trying to say.
John Fink is a bad guy. I don't know what you want
from
me. He's a bad guy.
I blame this on Fink.
Bad guy.
Is he going to throw more interceptions without Stephon Diggs?
Fiction. Yeah. No, I think Josh Allen will become an even more efficient Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. We actually saw it last year, you know, in the second half of the season when they kind of altered the way that they ran their offense. A lot more James Cook, you know, two tight ends. You know, I think Dalton Kincaid will become a more featured part of the offense. So I think that it won't be you won't see a lot of force feeding of a number one because we know now that this number one is probably going to be some type of rookie or a veteran that hasn't really been established. I think it's going to be a more efficient offense, which will mean, I think, an even better Josh Allen.
But this is making my point for me, okay? So if the Bills wind up drafting A.D. Mitchell or someone like that at 28 overall, he's got great gifts, he's got great talent, but Harry Douglas, you know better than anybody, young wide receivers, takes them time to get comfortable with the quarterback, he's going to run the wrong route, he's going to see one thing and the quarterback's going to see something else, and Allen's going to throw what looks like a terrible interception, and the world is going to come in here on Monday, and they're going to destroy Josh Allen, and Fink will be asking questions.
I am
like,
shocked.
What's wrong with Josh Allen?
I am shocked that Josh Allen has the strength to get up every day.
Me too.
Based on how badly he is mistreated out there in these media streets.
Can a rookie be, Harry Douglas, you're a wide receiver, all right? The Randy Mosses of the world are very few and far between who come into the league and set the world and fuego. Can a rookie be your number one wide receiver?
Yeah.
Puka Nacua?
Why not?
Yeah, it can happen. We've seen it with Ja'Marr Chase. We've seen it with Justin Jefferson.
Garrett Wilson.
I played with Julio Jones. When he came in as a rookie, had a phenomenal impact. I think it's more prevalent nowadays than it was, you know, in the past, Greeny. These guys are more athletic. They know the game more. They study a little bit more as well. And then I think with technology, they have that ability to be able to come in and make an impact right away.
Okay, so let me scratch that point off my list. I'm not making that one again. But the rest of it remains.
Yeah.
The rest of it remains. And so let's talk for a minute about what's left behind.
Yeah.
Josh Allen and the Bills. Window. Shut.
Yes.
Absolutely shut. AFC East champion this coming year. What? No?
I think it's shut.
Listen, you're not shutting the window?
No. The rest of the field has closed the distance. You can arguably say that they used to have the most talented roster. When you consider Poyer, you think about, you know, they had an abundance of talent.
All gone.
You know, Hyde.
Gone.
Tre'Davious White, who was injured.
Gone.
Von Miller, but you talk about, I forgot the other pass rusher, Leonard Floyd. Mm-hmm. They were able to just stack the deck. And this is what the Texans are doing, but the Buffalo was doing it first, and now that the credit card bill is due, now they lost depth. So if they get an injury, you talk about staying healthy, it's imperative that Ed Oliver stays healthy, that a lot of guys stay healthy as well because of all the pieces that they've lost. They've lost their depth and experience and leadership. They lost a lot of the leadership on the back end.
Jordan
Poyer and Hyde was the leaders of that squad.
What did you need to write down?
I'm just documenting. On April 4th, Greeny and Boyd said that the Buffalo Bills are cooked.
Window.
Window closed.
I'm just documenting that.
I'm saving this.
Yeah.
So, Fink, I need you to save this clip, Fink. I need you to save this clip right
here. Every offseason.
It just got warmer. You know why? Because that window just shut. All that cold air coming from upstate New York. All that cold air.
Window.
Someone finally shut the window.
Okay.
To quote the great Chris Tugger, write it down, take a picture. I don't give a what.
Exactly what I was going to say. Okay. As we continue, First Take picks up the conversation on the way. What does it all mean? Is the Bills Super Bowl window closed? Stephen A. will tell you coming up next. Plus, could the Bucs be one and done in the playoffs? First Take, Molly is back. Stephen A., Kmart, D-Wood, Monica, and more. Top of the hour here on ESPN. Huge weekend lineup coming your way, including the so eagerly anticipated Women's Final Four. The games on Friday night, including Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers in the nightcap. We got good Sunday night baseball action, all Texas battle, Astros and Rangers, and we got hockey coming your way on Sunday night. Huge weekend during what is an extraordinarily good little period here in sports. We finally drove them away.
Yeah,
the Jets, the Jet belief drove away everybody else.
CMB, we all we got.
It's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. We're going to stay healthy. Good things are going to happen. Feeling it. We're going to go do some radio. Yeah, First Take is going to start right now.
Crown.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.